Hey, welcome to It's Not My Fault, the OISG Podcast Is Not Popular, episode 35, where we try to talk about anime, manga, light novels, anything happening in the industry, stuff that interests us, because we like this stuff. Helen, you like this stuff too, right?
Yeah, and I feel like we stay generally on topic if those are our list of accepted topics.
Okay. But anyway, since I decided to introduce Helen before I did, Justin's here.
It's Justin.
And guess where we're recording this podcast? Just guess.
From my bed. I'm not in a closet anymore.
Okay, the day of this podcast. The day we're actually recording this podcast.
No work Mondays.
Yes, no work. But we're kind of taking time where we could just enjoy the nice weather and record a podcast.
I mean, I already enjoyed the nice weather outside.
Yeah, I kind of did too. But now I'm back home and I'm inside now. And I'm looking forward to enjoying my fan and the TV. It's right there. No, literally, it's right. It's like close to me.
Yeah, we can hear the fan, Justin. We can hear the fan.
No, I'm talking about my TV.
Oh.
I moved on from the fan. Keep up, Helen. Keep up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, enough about random stuff. How have you been?
I know this is a podcast about anime, but I haven't actually been watching much anime in the past couple weeks. I've just been binge-watching a Let's Play of Persona 5.
And why are you even doing that?
Because I don't have a PS3 or a PS4 or a copy of the game. That would cost me a couple $100s. And so I'm just watching someone else play it for free on YouTube.
Well, what do you think of it?
I really like it. I saw some people doing Let's Plays with the Japanese versions, like, last fall. And so I enjoyed it then, but people were having to, like, translate on their own to make things take longer. And then I'm seeing it in English, I'm like, wow, I really love all of these characters. Like, well, some of them are idiots, but I really love them all. And the story's pretty well foreshadowed, and it's just incorporated a lot of really cool little details into it.
Yeah, I've heard, like, rave reviews for Persona 5. There was this translation issue that I know occurred during this when it was coming out too, but other than that, like, I've heard mostly praise.
Yeah, I think Alcina is also a really big fan of it, so the next time we get her on the podcast, the two of us can just have, like, a long gush fest about Persona 5.
Yeah,
I mean,
she
is. It's
being
turned into an anime, so that's part of the reason why I'm watching Let's Play. It's because these are long games. These are, like, 80-hour games, so you have to cut a lot down for the anime. And one of the most fun things in the games is having, like, all these social links of all these different characters, but a lot of them will get cut out in the anime adaptations, looking at, like, the Persona 4 anime. So I kind of like that this guy is just playing through, getting everything done, so I can just see them all in one video. Well, one series of videos, that is.
Well, RPGs are pretty long, so, I mean, it comes with the territory, though.
I mean, these are, like, exceptionally long.
I'm just saying. Anyways, well, you know what, Helen? If whenever that Persona 5 anime comes out sometime next year, I'm just going to have you and Alcina talk about it on your podcast. That's what's going to happen.
Well, just trash the anime, just talk about the game.
I mean, the anime might be good.
It could. But the short that they already put out for it was just bleh.
Well, it's a short. Shorts are in it's early.
No,
I just want to give you... Fine, go ahead.
It was just bad. Like, it didn't quite look right, the characters didn't quite act right, it didn't even focus on the main characters, it was just kind of like this really side plot from the game, and just, it wasn't that good.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, like, it's super early, my guess is this isn't gonna come out to, like, what, the spring, maybe the summer of next year?
For some reason, I thought winter, but yeah, definitely 2018, definitely not the fall season.
Yeah, so... Just give them some time. I mean, most video games turn into anime aren't very good, but I mean, it's early. Give it a shot. Give it a chance to breathe.
Oh, I'm going to give it a shot. I just don't think it's going to do very well.
All right, well, you and Austin will just go talk about the game. Are you at least going to try to play the game at some point?
Justin, do you know how much PS3s and PS4s are?
At some point, they'll get cheaper, right? Maybe you could just find somebody and ask them if you could borrow it.
I'd have to borrow both of those things, and again, it would take me, like, at least 3 months to play through.
Just find, like, an hour each day.
Okay, you don't understand. This is true of Persona 4 as well, but if you look at people who do complete late playthroughs, even if they play for like an hour a day, it takes you like 100, 200 days to do it.
Yeah, I know. I used to play long video games, and those would take me days, and I'm just like,
this isn't
I
can't days, believe I'm playing Justin, this is months.
Days, weeks, months, doesn't,
there's
I get it.
There's a significant difference, Justin.
I get it. I think the longest game I've ever, what's the longest game I've ever played? Well, Skies of Arcadia was pretty long. Yeah, Skies of Arcadia was pretty long. That took at least a good couple months. Was Tales pretty long? Tales of Symphonia? Maybe that took a month. Okay, but at this point, I've played some long games before.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all you've been up to? No
basically,
anime?
Yep.
No manga?
Basically.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
So I must be like the only nerd that's about to talk right now, because I've at least done some nerd stuff, although, yeah, my anime watching has kind of, yeah, I need to, I'm behind on a couple of anime. I'll say this, I am still keeping up with the new game, the second season, and it's gotten pretty good. Like I said, a point where now you get into like the real, okay, this is some video game BS right here, stuff right now. I've also still keep up with Dragon Ball and Conan, you know, the classics.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I can still, I'm still watching some anime, but I want to get back into Sakura Quest, but I just never feel like actually going back to Sakura Quest. Same
yeah,
with Shuri.
Like, watching a bit of it and dropping off, and watching a bit of it and dropping off. I keep having that kind of relationship with it.
Like, Tsudere Children, I keep wanting to pick back up, but I haven't been watching that. Oh, and I've been watching Aho Girl. I have been keeping up with that. But other than that, like, gamers, bunch of stuff I'm just a little bit behind on. But I did watch some, like I said, I watched some nerd stuff. And they were both on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
They're both very famous.
Off the top of our heads.
No, don't do that. Just, please, don't actually guess.
Okay. Wait, I thought you said
I thought you were gonna just guess anyways.
Justin, I'm not that rude.
Well, okay, so the one of the ones that I'm thinking she's referring to is the Defenders.
Nope.
Oh. Wait, really? No? But didn't I tell you about my Marvel TV and film obsession I've been on? And
no,
how
no, I you... know because every anime nerd worth their salt has been going on and on about the Death Note adaptation that just dropped.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay, I will talk about the Defenders after I talk about Death Note. Okay, so just to set the table for people, I have basically watched Death Note since, I mean, I basically watched all of everything, read, except the novel. Basically, I know most of Death Note. The manga, the anime, the Japanese live actions, even the L1 with the 20 days, I think it was called, something. It's been
a
while.
Save the World?
But,
was that it?
Yep, that was it. I think that was the title. Yep.
Oh, just an important question. Would L qualify as an antisocial genius?
He is definitely an antisocial genius. Okay. I mean, seriously, look at the guy. I mean, just the fact that he's even hiding and solving crimes. I mean, just that alone, definitely. He is the top. He is the top level antisocial genius. Like that is, he is the top, at the very top. but anyways, establishing all that. So I watched all that. This Death Note should not even be called Death Note. Honestly, they really and I read it one time. There was an interview where basically I think the director was talking about. I think it was an IGN interview. I think the director was talking about just how much they had to like obviously compress it, because I mean you're compressing a manga into an hour and 40-minute film. That's, and even maybe a little bit shorter because it doesn't count the credits and stuff like that. So they always had to compress some stuff. I'm just gonna talk about the good things for now. there were a few good things. The first was the, oh, I should actually ask you this question. Do you mind spoilers?
Not really, since I read all of the Death Note manga back in high school, so I don't know how okay, and I don't really movie, but I'm okay with it.
Okay, then okay, just establishing that. Now getting back to what I liked about Death Note, Keith Stanfield as L was actually pretty good.
Have you read the review? The interview he did with, I think, the Hollywood Reporter.
So I think I found the article. I just haven't found the time to read it. I heard it was pretty wild.
He does a somersault at one point during the interview.
They just let him do a somersault.
Apparently.
That is, dude. I think he did. I don't know if he did a somersault in the show, but he was pretty. He was kind of athletic for athletic. And I'll get to that criticism of that for in a bit. But I'm talking about the good for now. William Dafoe as Ryuk was pretty solid. I don't know about his actions, but as for playing the character, he was pretty solid. There was one moment where they kind of called back to certain things from the anime and manga, or most of the manga. Like, they had the... What's the light novel? Not the light novel. The live-action Japanese film. Remember that scene in the Death Note manga about the somebody holding a hostage and Killer wanted to test the powers of the Death Note out? You remember that early stuff, right?
I feel like I must have read that, but there were just so many weird
really early, where Kira was not like, there's no way this Death Note isn't real, or anything like that. And then it sees on TV that they're showing somebody, like this, there's somebody holding children hostages and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that does ring a little bit of a bell, I think, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of do that a little bit with this. I also spend the problem with that as well. And then there was one moment in the film where I think they had the manga drawing of Ryuk. Like, they actually had, like, him drawn, like, in some sort of... I remember if it was a book or something like that sort of thing. And I thought that was a neat touch. And that's about all the good things I can squeeze out of the film.
Well, that's dire.
So, yeah, this is basically a weirder take on Death Note, as in they take the Japanese name, they obviously switch like Yagami to like Turner, and they make him into a very dumb character. Like, he is super dumb.
Which doesn't really work well for Death Note. Since yes. The thing about Death Note was that Light was in some ways just weirdly clever enough to keep evading the police.
And then, well, just in general, like, he was just a smart kid where he found something that he obviously had, he thought he wanted to put justice in his own hands, and he thought he was smart enough to handle it, and obviously he was not. But in general, he's portrayed as smart, likable, etc. This guy is in the Death Note live act, in the Netflix version is very antisocial.
But isn't he dating the head lecturer?
Hold on, I'll get to that in a moment. The film does not establish a very early area part of seeing whether or not he's being bullied or not. He's either being bullied to, like, do people's notes, like, do their homework for them, or he just does it to get money, which basically establishes Light as a character as irredeemable. So, yeah, this is, like, the first, like, 3 or 4 minutes of the film. So they already established Light's character to be, like, it's not Light. It's not Light at all. Might as well just change the name from Light Turner to some other name, like Nat Turner or something like that at this rate, because it's not Light. So yeah, that alone just is a problem. And then you get to when he actually discovers the Death Note falls from the sky, which, hey, that happened in the anime, but, like, he was in class when he saw it fall from the sky, and then picks it up. Thinks it's like, okay, something, it's not real, whatever. But he takes it with him anyways. In the film, he takes it with him anyways, but they then cut to him getting beat up by a bully. Like, they show him trying to stand up, they show him trying to help somebody else from getting bullied, and then after a conversation, he ends up getting punched and gets in trouble. And thus, that sorts Nat Turner's, okay, fine, I'm going to stick with the actual name, Light Turner's journey into realizing this world is pretty bad. But this film does not really establish that very well. So just that is bad. as for the girlfriend thing, so this is actually something where you could take this for, I mean, you, some could go either way on this. Misa's character, like Misa Amane, is called Mia in the Netflix version. So that's basically the swap. She's definitely not the same character. And in fact, that's the relationship Light and Mia. They meet early enough. They're both in the same school. I think it's like what, high school? Mostly college. I think it's in high school, which is still weird. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure he was in high school in the original manga.
Yeah. So yeah, they're both in the same school, and then they both get in a relationship. But you want to know how dumb the relationship is, or how they got into the relationship? She was with him when he got like punched by the bully. And then later on, he discovers the Death Note, finds out what he does, blah blah blah, and he ends up trying to get her on his side by showing him he has this power. And it's not, and it's, and because they don't establish that. Oh wait, Misa in the manga already has a Death Note and stuff like that. She's famous and blah blah blah. But because of that, it's so dumb. It's like, hey, I have this Death Note. I don't believe you. Okay, let me show you killing this people and this person here on TV. I'm telling you, it's real. And he does it, and it's like, oh, wow, you're so amazing. And I'm like, ugh.
So did she have a Death Note at all in the movie?
She did not have a Death Note until later on. As so in, she used the same Death Note as Light.
So we don't have the old subplot for Shinigami and all that?
Yeah, no, that she does. There's no Rem. So yeah, they literally just have one Shinigami.
I mean, I'm gonna say that was not the best plot, but at least it gave Misa a little more agency when she was
out. Yeah, the only thing is that she takes more ownership of certain things Light won't do. If you remember in the manga, you know what happens to Light's dad, right?
He was one of the investigators on the Kira case, wasn't he?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I remember that part. I'm trying to remember if Light killed his dad or not, because I wouldn't put it past him.
Okay, so he actually, in the manga, he did.
Okay.
Okay, but in the Netflix version, he actually doesn't want to. And this actually upsets Mia
at one point. Oh my god, Light, you don't want to kill your dad? Oh my god, what a downer.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there are situations where L is figuring out everything out. And stuff like that, and there's a perfect opportunity to do it. He's on national TV, scene with his dad, calling out L for killing the agents. You remember the agents, right?
I think so. By the way,
they don't have that. It's really dumb in the Netflix version too.
I was gonna say in the manga, wasn't that like the train incident or something?
Yes. Okay, yeah, they don't have that at all in Netflix. Like if anything, it lasts like maybe 3 minutes.
I mean, I think we should know right now that the anime and manga were pretty dumb in their own ways. There's a lot of really convoluted plans to try and kill people secretly, but you're saying that the Netflix is just even dumber
logic. Some of it, the thing is, like, I think the manga version has a bit more logic. The Netflix version is just like, okay, these deaths occurred, move on. And I get why, because you only have so much time to get to where you want to do, but it's still so dumb. Let me get back to something other than just how bad those moments are. They changed a little bit of Ryuk's character. Like, you know how Ryuk was like, I'm just watching everything, blah blah blah. I'm just too interested in what you humans are doing.
Yeah, all Ryuk's that stuff. In this for the shits and giggles, basically.
Yeah, Ryuk in the Netflix version wants Light to kill people. So this basically means that Ryuk is just they basically changed Ryuk's character. And wonderful, okay, you did a great job portraying him, but the script you got was not like no. And then
occurred. Why Ryuk couldn't be killing people on his own with the Death Note?
What's that?
In the Netflix version, is there any reason why Ryu couldn't just be killing people in the Death Note with the Death Note himself? On his own?
They don't establish that.
Okay.
And that reminds me, like, the... Just to let you know, they actually made up a rule just for Light's, like, little game that he tries to play with, to throw L, to try to throw L off his scent. They made up a rule for that in Death Note. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but it was not very good. I'll just say that. The devs in the actual show are not, or like somebody had tweeted out to me, like, and what I was talking about a little bit while streaming it out, somebody replied that it was like Final Destination-ish. I had no idea what Final Destination, I mean, I know of Final Destination, but I haven't watched any of the movies.
Same.
If it's like that, like, they're kind of cheesy, very, like, why? And then, I guess a good example is somebody gets their head decapitated after some dude drops something onto the street, and that, I think, hits a car, and then that car was had a ladder on this roof, on the roof of the car, and then it crashed into the sidewalk, and then the ladder got off the rope or whatever, and the ladder ended up decapitating somebody's head off. It was very dumb.
And like very cheesy. Sounds like a Goldberg machine designed just to kill people in the most inefficient manner possible.
Yes. And nobody dies of heart attacks in this Netflix version. It's just that, oh, we'll just have gruesome deaths. We'll just have the agents jump off a building for no particular reason. That won't cause any trouble whatsoever.
So basically, we saw a few people after San Diego Comic-Con saying, oh, this movie seems kind of good from the excerpts we've seen. And there was a lot of excitement that it might be good, but it sounds like this is just another one of those really terrible anime live-action adaptions.
It's just like, they want to do so much, and then say really so little. And it's tough, it really is. I know I've said it before, where I kind of had a little bit of faith in Netflix, I like some of their stuff they've had on there, but this isn't... It's not very good. It's just so many problems. And this... this may not be necessarily a case of fault of the actors. It's just a case of... They wanted to compress everything in the time they have. And they didn't do a very good job of it. Like, if you're gonna do this, you might as well just cut it off at, like, one... Let's see. There was a... Like, I'm pretty sure there was a point in the manga you could have cut it off from. And then, boom, that would have been it. And you could have maybe adapted more things. Maybe had... more explanation, more better characters, blah blah blah, but instead they try to go for it all in one. And
I thought people were saying it was set up like there was going to be sequels.
Spoiler alert, both Light and L survive.
Wait, what? That's not how Death Note's supposed to go. L is supposed to die, and that is like supposed to be a center point.
Second spoiler alert, actually, okay, second spoiler alert with an asterisk. And the last in the live action films for the Japanese, L doesn't die immediately. In the TV show that they did of Death Note, Light dies horribly.
Wait, Light or L?
And Light dies horribly
at the end of the TV series.
The reason I put the asterisk, I think L survives, or he maybe put his name in the Death Note, but he's supposed to, I can't remember, it's been a while. But, also, that Death Note TV wasn't very good. That's probably why I don't remember that much. But I can't remember if he wrote his name in Death Note, or he actually survives. So yeah, in this Netflix version, both L and Light survive. Watari is dead, though. And that gets to, and I'm going to point this out right now. I'm definitely going all over the place, which is makes sense because this film was all over the place. But, yeah, the reason, like, L's character is good to a certain point until Watari is, like, basically controlled by L. I mean, controlled by Light. Light wrote his name in a Death Note. And... the reason why is he wanted information on who L's real name was. So he ends up getting Watari to try to find his name. And he eventually does not find the name, and he gets like him. He gets killed because the police were basically searching for him. After that, L literally loses it, and you can go at the point like, okay, maybe there's a different take on what happens if Watari, which is a guy, one of his like guides throughout, like for the show, for the manga, etc. See how what happens if he doesn't have Watari with them, but. At the same time, there was a lot like more movement than I think L should be doing. So, like there was a chase scene involving him and Light.
Yeah, that definitely didn't happen in the manga. Since in the manga, L suspected Light pretty soon on and had him and Misa's movements monitored like really, really closely.
Yeah. So yeah, like that was like I guess they had to take some departures, and I guess in the big compared to everything else, it's not the biggest problem. But it's like yeah, there's a little bit too much. It's supposed to be like a mind game, but there's really no mind like games happening in this Netflix version. That's what's disappointing, honestly. Like they decided to go more of the thriller actiony type of plot instead of the oh, let's outwit you and stuff like that, or blah blah blah. Even like I think like I'll tell you this, like when I first watched Death Note, one of the reasons why it really stood out to me, because at that time I was mostly accustomed to action and nothing stuffed in like where you literally like, action was the mind games, like who's gonna do this, who's gonna do that. That's kind of why I like Conan too, but just something different. That's what helped me out. And then this Netflix version does. Nothing. It doesn't do anything different. Like it's just the same old, and that leads it to a very bad place.
Well, I guess I continue to say that Speed Racer is my favorite and the only good American live action adaptation of an anime. Then,
at some point, I'm supposed to watch that, aren't I?
Speed Racer is just a lot of really silly fun. You're not getting anything deep out of it. It's just a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about something that I actually did like on Netflix. The title that you didn't want me to talk about. Okay, that's not completely true.
I mean, everything everyone tells me about Defenders is that it's got three great characters and one character who needs to go stick his head in the toilet, so...
Yeah, everybody hates the Iron Fist, and I kind of hate him too in a way. I just hate his first show, but I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, the Defenders. Basically, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, all combined... to face the Hand.
Wait, seriously?
Yes,
that
the Hand.
That is a really lame villain name. Or villain organization name.
And you know what? Jessica Jones makes fun of that, too.
Y'all need to try harder.
She's like there was one scene where they all meet up, and then Iron Fist, Danny Wren mentions, like, they call it the Hand. And then Jessica's like, no, really, what are they called? And then Daredevil's confirmed that, yeah, they actually called the Hand. So, yeah, she's very much a delight in the Defenders. But yeah, it's a nice comp. They're finally crossing over, bringing all these characters in. It takes a while for them to actually meet up because they have to have their own certain plot lines and everything. Like, why they're actually meeting up. These guys have been avoiding each other for, like, forever. Why now? So yeah, when they finally do meet up, it's actually pretty awesome. Just them like interacting with each other is like weird and still cool. The actual action in the show was pretty good. Like there's some pretty decent, just pretty good action sequences. And even the Iron Fist, I will tell you this, I watched season one of the Iron Fist, and the action scenes in that show was, it always boggles the mind how Marvel could let that happen, but they did.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. The complaints people had about Iron Fist is that, so you've cast this guy who doesn't even look like the character, and then he also can't even do martial arts. Like, you can't even make that argument that he's just some really skilled martial artist you wanted in the show. Yeah, so people said that it does a lot of, like, really fast cuts to hide when they're swapping in stunt doubles, a lot of shots where you can tell they're trying to hide the guy's face. It's like, it sounds really sloppy all around.
Yeah, and then there was an interview that said that, like, with the Iron Fist actor, Danny Finn Jones, and there was an interview where he was saying that he had to do so much work just to actually do some of the stuff. Like, he had to learn the stunts literally on the day of the shooting. Like, it was a crazy... Bad. Yeah, it's a crazy schedule. So yeah, like that may like even like I still don't know if he was right. I still don't think he was the right actor for it in general. But yeah, that kind of schedule is kind of that's insane. And then but in this show, even the action scenes for Defenders and when he was in it was actually pretty decent. Hmm. Like I can't lie, he was it probably helped he was a more supporting character, and it helped that you had the other characters to help him out. But he was way more tolerable than in his actual show. Which is concerning in some ways. It just makes you hope that with the events that happened in Defenders, that his character changes completely, and also that they have a new showrunner that will also help. but I personally like the Defenders. I think it's the third best Marvel show after season one of Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
Now, I haven't seen any of these TV shows before. Would I be able to jump in on the Defenders without having seen any of the others? Or is it something where you really do need to be familiar with at least if not four of the previous
series? At least maybe two of them. Definitely Daredevil. Definitely. Okay, if you want to actually like keep up with the organization stuff, which is like, that would be Daredevil and then Iron Fist. Okay. But for me, you just have to watch Daredevil and Jessica. Well, you can watch Daredevil, Jessica Iron Fist. I mean, and Luke Cage.
Yeah, see, that sounds optimal. Avoiding Iron Fist sounds optimal.
For Iron Fist, you just may have to watch the first. No, not the first episode. Just the last episode, I think.
Can't I just read the summaries on Wikipedia?
And the summary, and that too, maybe. That may be a. That may help. I don't know. Maybe a little bit. Just the thing is, like, there's, like, a character that comes back. There was a character that supposedly died in Iron Fist that comes back in Defenders, so. I guess that's why. But otherwise, if you just want to jump. Like, I guess I can say this. You can try and jump in with the Defenders, because I jumped in technically with the Avengers. Like, I only the only film I watched of that, like, whole. Cinematic Universe thing was Iron Man, which was way back in 2006, 2008?
2008, 2007, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere around there. That was the only film of the other thing I watched, and I didn't watch any of the other stuff. And then, I think by the time they, like, had... Was Winter Soldier out by then or something like that? Maybe even further than that. But then, by then, I just decided to finally jump into the Avengers, and I didn't know most of these characters, but I enjoyed it. So who knows, you might enjoy just jumping in.
Yeah, and I've started skipping some of the Marvel films these days, because I'm not interested in Ant-Man, I'm not interested in Hulk, and a couple other things, so at this point I'm just kind of skipping around myself there as well.
Like, I think it's tough, because I can understand superhero fatigue, although I haven't felt it yet.
I just think ones like the Wasp are just... Not the Wasp, sorry, Ant-Man. I just think the premise for this is stupid.
Shrinking Man with superpowers?
Ant-Man, yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Can shrink into
I was different a thief, realms? But I've been redeemed. No, we need you to be a thief once again. Aw, man. Nah, Dip, but man, it has you're in a movie. This is what's gonna happen.
But it has Paul Rudd, though.
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, he's a pretty funny guy. But okay, if you didn't know who Paul Rudd is, then there you go. Like, Thor Ragnarok has a decent cast, and
yeah,
it looks like
it's going
to be
most... Yeah, at least, because that actually seems to have a sense of art direction.
Yeah, and then Black Panther is going to come out next.
Same for Black Panther.
So, it's like, yeah, you get that superhero fatigue, and then it's like, okay, if I'm going to watch those films, I can't stop right now, right?
Well, I mean, Thor Ragnarok looks like it's going to be kind of a really cool superhero movie, a little bit like Guardians of the Galaxy, kind of acknowledgement that there's a wider world beyond Earth. And Black Panther looks like it's going to be Afrofuturism, which we barely get in movie form in the US, so
yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. So yeah, it's tough, but I get it. But I'm just stuck. And then and I guess I'm just like, yeah, this Defenders is good, and I kind of hope they do another season. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I kind of hope they do.
I would like to point out that you were teasing me for having not watched any anime, and then you just spent half an hour talking about movies.
I know, right? We didn't even talk about, like, any anime or any, like, manga or, like, yeah, we should, in fact, we should probably get to that, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
But, We should probably get a little serious also, shouldn't we?
The world is terrible.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you all know of what's happened to Hurricane Harvey. It's definitely affected the people of Houston for sure.
And surrounding cities as well.
Yep, surrounding cities. And I'm pretty sure there's still some surrounding cities that are having trouble even now. And,
I follow some folks on Twitter who are webcomicers, and they're not supposed to get power back till Friday.
Yeah, and I saw somebody was doing like a before and after shot of certain locations in Houston where you saw the flooding and stuff like that, but then now, like right now, it's actually pretty good. But they still need a lot of help.
Mm-hmm. And a PSA, and guys, don't believe any of those photos you see with sharks swimming on the freeways or anything. It didn't happen.
Yeah, watch out for fakes. Don't need that.
Look out for fake sharks.
This is not fake. The people at Sentai Filmworks, they definitely could use a little bit of help, help as well. They live in Houston, so they said in an article, I think it was on Anime News Network, that the actual like location is fine, like where they like go to work and stuff like that. But the homes where the people that work at Sentai they're not fine. So you can basically use any help that you can. So they have their GoFundMe page. I'm going to say the link. I'm going to say the name of the site. GoFundMe.com at Help Sentai Filmworks. I will have a link on the website. So you'll see it there. So yeah, just donate what you can. Anything if you can, which should help. Funimation, they're not actually, they're fine. As in, like, they're in Texas. They're in a different part of Texas, so they're good. But they have their own put out their own website where they put a bunch of links to organizations you could donate, make donations. So if you're going to go there, go to crowdrise.com, Funimation Hurricane Harvey Relief. We'll also leave the link on the page. So if you have the time and money to do it, please help if you can.
Yeah, I do feel a little conflicted about Sentai Filmworks putting together a GoFundMe to help their employees. Like, yeah, totally.
Yes.
I understand the
employees
needing help.
Same thing,
that,
actually.
Like, Sentai Filmworks, you are a company that makes money. If you really want to help your employees, I feel like y'all should be starting first. And maybe they are starting to donate first, since I know that flood insurance is very rarely an insurance you can buy in the U.S. You typically have to buy it from the federal government. And as of September 1st, the way to file for it has just gotten a lot harder because, White House. So yeah, I do understand plenty of circumstances, but it still makes me feel weird when it's like a company that makes a profit saying, please help us out. And it's like, can't you guys help yourselves out? That's part of the thing about being a company.
I was thinking about that too. I was thinking,
I'm not disagreeing with you, put the link on the page. That's fine. I just kind of, I'm just kind of side-eyeing Sentai more than usual.
No, I got it. No, that was the first thing I thought of too. So, I mean, you're perfectly fine in thinking that. But it's just hard to know, like, just how devastated the actual employees are. And, I mean, you just hope that ASNT will actually not, like, take the money or anything like that. And this will actually go and help the employees out. That's really it.
Yeah, since Houston just got a ridiculous amount of water, like, just more than basically anywhere on the planet can handle at once.
What is it,
50? That's what happens when you have a hurricane that decides, I'm going to move 1 mile an hour. And just slowly move back and forth across the city.
They say they got like 50 inches or something of rain
something like that in some places. Yeah,
that's like, I think there was a comparison like how much Seattle gets rain in a year or something like that, and that's how much Harvey got in like a couple days.
It's a lot. So
yeah
looks like the next hurricane thankfully is moving away from them, so hopefully they won't give a 1-2 punch, since that always sucks when that happens.
Yeah, that will definitely suck. So we're definitely hoping for the people of Houston, hope the people of Houston will get back on their feet, and we obviously wish them well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And also hope that FEMA actually comes through and fun stuff for them, since FEMA's, I think, either FEMA or NOAA is currently without a head. So, yeah. Let's see.
All right.
Less pressing news, Kodansha has done one of their sneak digital licensing announcements again, which caught both of us off guard.
Yes, it's so sneaky. I never even got a newsletter. Like normally I would see a newsletter that says they license some stuff, and there was no newsletter with the following two titles. Wakamiyama's Elegant Yokai Apartment Life, and Totoro's Black Panther and Sweet 16.
Oh, when I saw that at first, I was like, is this somehow related to the Marvel Black Panther? But yeah, when I saw these announcements, I didn't even see Kodansha making announcements. I just saw Bookwalker saying, oh, we've got these up on the site now. So I was wondering if Bookwalker had translated them again. But no, these are actual Kodansha digital licenses in the same vein of a lot of the digital manga licenses they've been making over the past year.
Yeah. And I guess for Apartment Life, or Elegant Yokai Apartment Life, the anime is streaming on Crunchyroll. So I guess, oh, hey, look, anime, manga. Yeah.
It's kind of dull.
Good job. Is it?
Yeah. I was watching it and it reminded me of the Morose Mononoke from last year, and I was like, oh yeah, I should read more of that. And then I realized that Crunchyroll hadn't updated that in a while. So it's like, I should go watch something else.
Oh no.
I know.
Is this still going? It's still going in Japan, right?
The Morose Mononoke and manga, yeah, it's still going. Crunchyroll just is really bad about updating a lot of their manga these days.
Oh no. Aww. That sucks.
It does.
I believe Black Panther and Sweet 16. It looks like a shoujo. It could be like one of those shifan. Oh wait, no, it's a Nakayoshi. It's a shoujo.
yeah, that's a shoujo magazine for sure.
Yeah. Hey, more shoujo. I think Kodansha has been like bringing a lot of shoujo and josei stuff over recently. So
more josei than shoujo, honestly. As someone who just did an entire panel about shoujo manga at Otakon, and some folks were like, "I wanted to hear more obscure titles." I assure you guys, we don't have that much license right now. We don't really have room for there to be obscure shoujo titles right now.
Yeah. So yeah, those are out now. As in, these two are... You can actually go right now to the site and buy them.
Buy them. Read them. Don't read them. Don't care. Just go. Go do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything.
Man.
Support the industry! Or don't support it. I don't know.
Let's see, going back to Crunchyroll for a moment, Crunchyroll has started dubbing some anime recently. I think a lot of it's been in coordination with Funimation, but they've been expanding their dub initiatives. Now they're going to be dubbing in Spanish, Brazilian Portuguese, German, and French. And I think their initial couple titles are Yamada-kun and the Seven Witches, Roka Braves the Six Flowers, and Schwarzmarken. It's funny because I think all of those have been produced by different companies and licensed by different companies in the U.S., so it's kind of a diverse title selection to start out with.
Yeah, and I'm just curious about just the dubbing in general. I guess that's a profitable operation.
And I mean, these are all from, you know, other territories, regions which have established fan bases. You know, in Germany, in France, apparently the Brazilian anime fans have like their own very distinct trends. Like they really like I think they really like Saint Seiya and stuff like that.
Okay, that makes sense. But I wonder about this. I guess Crunchyroll has enough money, and as you alluded to, maybe Funimation could be helping, although remember the Sony situation, so who knows with that.
Unlikely. I mean, Funimation is based in Texas. They might be able to handle Spanish then. You might be able to draw from a big enough pool of professional Spanish actors who could do voice acting. But Brazilian Portuguese in general sounds a lot more specific.
Right, yeah, they're definitely. I'm not gonna fault them because I guess there's an audience that would like to have like these anime dubbed in their language, and like we're very used to having English language dubs, but now how about German language dubs? How about French dubs? What's wrong with those? So this seems like a good initiative. I think I just wonder, will this be too much for them?
Probably not. And sometimes it's fun whenever Netflix licenses something and dubs it in multiple languages. Sometimes it's fun to just jump back and forth between languages. Like, I think I saw somebody talking once about how they were, like, watching something with, like, the German dub on Netflix just because they could.
Huh, okay. I gotcha. Okay, in that sense, maybe this will work out pretty well. I have to see what other titles they're gonna do. And I guess also how fast. Because I don't think these have... They just don't have dates, if I'm not mistaken, yet. So... Making sure. I don't think these have dates.
I mean, even in the U.S., it can take forever to license and dub things. And all three of these are shows that are completed, so that shouldn't be a problem with them having to wait for the DVDs to finish in Japan or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, there's no dates for these yet. But I'm going to assume they'll come fairly soonish. And my guess is that they're gonna have them next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we already in September, so the year's ending soonish.
Yeah, and then I guess they're gonna announce more titles and maybe more conventions. Who knows?
There's not many more conventions left in the year. You basically only have NYCC and that Anime NYC for big cons.
Although don't forget
AWA might be big enough.
Yeah, Anime Week in like Atlanta should be another one, I think. But you're right. Should just be New York City Comic Con and then Anime New York City. Those should be the last couple cons of the year.
Anime New York City Comic Con.
No. Please no. That's not the only thing Crunchyroll is doing. They're also going to be getting into games. They're going to be bringing over. If they're partnering with Gree and Sumitomo, so they're going to distribute games based on anime for North America and potentially other countries, in the other worldwide countries. And the first one is it wrong to try and pick up girls in a dungeon? Is it wrong to try to pick up girls in a dungeon? Memoria Freeze. Dan Memo. Smartphone game, so it's going to be a mobile game, and it's expected to come out early 2018.
Is it free to play, or do you remember?
Is it free to play?
So I was wondering if Crunchyroll wanted in on that sweet mobage money.
So far, it does not say in this article, so it could be a free to play. It could be you may have to pay for some aspects of it. My guess is maybe you'll have to pay for some aspects of it.
Yeah, I do wonder how they're going to handle this, though, since for the games, they're going to obviously need to localize the text in there. They're also going to have to, you know, go back into the coding of the game to, you know, put the new text in. And as we probably recall, Crunchyroll does not have any, like, software engineers anymore.
So
they're
going
to have to outsource that, at least.
All right, so from the article, it says Gree will manage the copyrights, planning, development, and operation for the game.
Ah, gotcha.
And then Crunchyroll and Sumitomo will localize, distribute, and promote the game.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess this is the next step for Crunchyroll. They can't just do anime.
I mean, why not? They've been doing just anime. They did just anime for a couple of years and did quite fine at it.
Right. I guess for me, it's just like, obviously, as a business, you're going to have to evolve and do other stuff, especially when you're successful in one thing.
But when you install more things, that introduces more areas for you to catastrophically fail and take down the entire company.
Yes, that's my worry. but ultimately, this is probably what they had to do, I think. And I'm curious to see what other stuff they could possibly bring over. Wasn't there like this Konosuba game that came out last year, or was it early this year?
I don't remember. I mean, there's so many tie-in anime games out right now in Japan. Like, there's some for Simple Gear, for Macross, in addition to the whole Love Live and Idolmaster phenomenons. I mean, there's a lot more out there than I think a lot of us realize, unless we follow certain folks on Twitter who go into the Japanese iTunes store to download them.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I'll just say this. I think this might do well, but for now, I'm just going to be stuck with Fire Emblem Heroes. Thank you.
See, to talk about some stuff that's a little more immediate, A Silent Voice came out last year in Japan, I think. And if you're in the US, you've been able to get it legally if you go and get, like, a British iTunes gift card and then buy it off the British iTunes website. But it is going to have a theatrical premiere release on October 20th of this year. You know, as always, potential to be a little wider, you know, if it does well. But anyone who hasn't wanted to just go ahead and blind buy off the iTunes store can now have a chance to go see it in theaters.
Well, considering I know it's going to be shown somewhere in New York, I'm just like, okay, my body's ready.
Yeah, and also coming out, hopefully we'll get this podcast out in time for this, but The Napping Princess was just in review like way back last January, is also about to have a limited theatrical run starting the weekend of September 9th or so.
Oh, it's supposed to be this weekend. Oh.
Yeah.
That's exciting. It's a really great film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a really limited run in DC where I am, so I'm not sure how many opportunities folks outside of like a big city will have a chance to see that one.
Yeah. I will say this. It is definitely all ages, which is actually kind of rare to say for an animated animated film for the most part, so... But you'll still get enjoyment out of it, I think.
Yeah, honestly, it is really weird to say all ages, since, like, we'll be like, oh, this is all ages, and then there's gonna be, like, all the boob-groping scenes in your name, and it's like, well... We really want to introduce the kids to the ideas of please touch sexual objects at such a young age? Maybe not. Oh, Justin, I left this last one for you, because this is your show.
I mean, this is definitely my show. Although, I heard the reviews of it weren't that great, but I'm not surprised. Gintama, the live-action film that Japan created for some reason. Yeah, I don't know why, but they did it anyways. Because and they're gonna... Could. Yes, and it has a chance of screening outside of Japan, so it could potentially screen somewhere in the United States next year, somewhere in Canada, elsewhere, and my body is not ready for it.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that you're in the biggest American city, so if it's going to screen anywhere in the U.S., it's got a pretty good shot there. Unless for some reason they wanted to try and get an Oscar, and they were trying to just do the qualifying
role, no, like out on the please, West Coast. Please, the judges will be like, why is this character picking his nose? Why, what? Is this a comedy or an action? What?
Oh, I recently saw somebody who did a review of the JoJo's Bizarre Adventures live-action film at a screening festival in Canada, and they were like, I'm not familiar with this franchise. This franchise is really weird if you're not familiar with. Just really weird.
Oh, well, I guess that means the JoJo film is the best live-action film ever. if it says that. But either way, I'm not... I mean, I'm gonna look forward. I'm gonna if it's gonna be available officially at some point, I will watch it. I will go in with low expectations. I firmly feel like it doesn't really translate. I firmly feel like this doesn't really translate to live action, but I'll see.
Yeah, that's how I feel like about a lot of anime comedies, that they're just so wacky and they rely on so many visual shorthands that they're just not quite gonna work well in the real world, you know?
Mm-hmm. but yeah, that's about it for like news. And then this last one is not like normally we kind of end the segment like or end the podcast with like weird news, but I didn't really find like any weird news. So this next one I'm gonna say is not really weird, but I'm just gonna add it to this section anyways. There's a Japanese publisher called Kirishin that's apparently gonna launch the first Christian light novel, and my first reaction was, without really reading it, there's no way that can be true. The first Christian light novel?
My light novel can't be this Christian.
What is, like really? As in, like, it's gonna be, like, one of those religious, like, those Christian books that we have here, or something like that? Those films? Like, it's really, like that?
Well, I mean, this gets even weirder when you realize it's not like they already have a title in mind. They're holding a contest to find the right book to become its inaugural light novel series.
Yeah. So, and the company itself is a religious, they've been publishing religious literature for like a while. So, they're very used to it, but like, the first? Maybe the first contest for this? I can go with that.
It reminds me how, like, Kyoto Animations had that contest going for years, trying to find, you know, a light novel series that they'd like to, animate, and they've had, like, one title come out of that that they've been interested in, which was Violet Evergarden. I don't think they've had any other titles they've been remotely interested in after running it for, like, 5 years, so I really wonder how this contest is going to turn out for them. Although it says they only need people to submit, like, a single chapter to be considered, so that might help them get more entries. But yeah, I don't know about you, Justin. I think this is pretty weird news, honestly, to end this podcast on.
Really?
I think this is pretty weird when you add it all together.
I mean, compared to, like, the Green Bay Packers story, let's see, what else weird stuff?
Oh my god, those the names have, like, the best potential titles.
Oh no.
In another world with Jesus, my life as a sinner is as wrong as expected. Saints harem life.
No, please. Please stop. Stop right now.
In another world of my Bible.
Now you just made this weird.
A minister is in a harem. I still can't believe that God sent me to preach the gospel podcast to all girls Christian school.
Very much over. My name is Justin. I am on Twitter at @Kami_Nomi.
I'm Helen. I'm on Twitter, but frankly, I'm just going to stay on this forum for a little while. So,
oh my God.
Just follow
please.
Justin. You'll find me on
please
Twitter too.
Please stop. stop. She's not a wandering dreamer and all that. No. Why are you doing this to yourself, Helen? Why? Why would you? Oh my god. This is...